you so much for joining us once again on Growing Up on Death Row at 17. I'm your host, David Johnson, along with Brian Seddons, co-host. Brian, it's 2024. It's been a little minute since we've been on here. What's the latest? What's the greatest? What's been going on with you?
Man, wherever you want to start at, it's been a lot going on, man. Working full time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was working like 10 hours a day. I had a job. And the job was a good job, man. I got my chauffeur license now, so I can drive trucks, people around and stuff now. And I had a job for 4 or 5 months, man. And, man, the job was going good, for real. Until one of the people that worked there, I won't say no name.
Right.
But, yeah, it was a chef. You ever?
Okay. And
possibly right after you did the interview with the lady, did you tell her something like that?
Mm-hmm.
You did a podcast with her about her life and stuff like that on Growing Up on Death Row. And actually, one of the chefs, I guess, went back and Googled it. And when she Googled it, my whole history popped up. Pictures and things like that and all the stuff here. And the first thing I think she recognized was the fact that it was a juvenile that was being sent to prison as a kid. And did 30, and a lot of people didn't know I'd done 31 years.
Right.
So she figured that out. Then she went searching some more and saw me on a picture with one of the guys that were released with me, possibly accused of taking out one of her family members. That's why the guy was in prison. He was a juvenile. That was one of my, he's a friend of mine. But you don't know who people victim is or who people family victim is. None of that, man, if you don't have nothing to do with it.
So that's why you think she had beef with you from the beginning, or that's what you've come up with? How'd you discover that she did all this?
Well, I didn't discover that till almost close to after. I think it was a week after the podcast got released. And I got questions. So when I seen her and I come to work, she was like, oh, man, I didn't know. I looked up, saw some pictures, man, blah, blah. One of the guys that was on the picture with you was convicted of killing my father. I was like, well, I don't know which one you're talking about, because I was on the picture with 40 of us. Somehow she got a hold of the picture we did at the park with all of us on there.
Okay.
So I never inquired about which one it was, because basically it really didn't matter, because I wasn't responsible for it. So why is I'm even holding this conversation with you about anybody else? That's something you need to find that person to talk to about.
Mm-hmm.
From that day forward, she felt as though I belittled her in some type of way, or just ignored all her emotion, her stress, and her pain, and her family member being taken away. But like I told her, it's a lot of people that have been victimized over the years, not just by kids, but through century murders and heinous crime been known to roam the earth before my time. So this ain't something new. It all depends on how you handle it. And I left it as that. And so she kept coming every questions and all that. So basically, I just told her like this, listen, if you want to find out anything about that guy, go look him up, find him somewhere. Because I ain't finna give you his start, I ain't finna give you no phone number. I'm not finna do none of this because I care about the dude. I met him. We was in the same place. I was charged with a crime that I did commit. But even though he probably didn't commit his. I don't know if he committed his or not, David. I don't know if it was other people that was on the case with him or not. So I'm not a judge or a jury. So we talked, and like I told her, I'm not going to help her in no type of way. And then after that, I think everything on her part just went shady to where she felt that, though, okay, then this guy ain't going to cooperate with me. And those type of words she was using, like, damn, you don't want to cooperate. I'm like, damn, I ain't cooperating with the police, no other motherfucker. Who the fuck is you? What the fuck is you talking about? Now I'm starting to get real aggressive every time I see this person. So I took the liberty of just stop going to the restaurant because, David, by law, I didn't even work the restaurant. My office was upstairs above the restaurant. I drove the truck. So I worked in that part, and I was the only driver. But I had a chef that was assigned to the truck with me, too. So me and his office was upstairs. So I'm like, all right, about $22 an hour. So I'm like, all right, I ain't got time for all this because I got to make my way out here to make a living. Right. So I confront her again about it. She confront me, then I confront her back. Then I go to the owner, and I'm like, listen, man, I don't feel too comfortable coming to this job. It's a good place to work at, but, you know, I don't feel comfortable coming here, man, because of the environment. You know what I'm saying? It was a hostile environment all the time. And you got a person pulling up on me. And I think she made the biggest mistake in the world when she flashed her gun on me. And I can't say she was intending to use it. The only thing I can say is she was like, yeah, I got stuff for niggas like you. Flashed old gun on me. I'm like, man, this girl tripping. Because she don't really know what she's dealing with, for one, and for two, you don't play with nobody like that. I don't care who it is, because you ain't going to the police pull up. You ain't going to pull it out on him and tell him you got a problem or anything like that. You hear me? So she, I think it was like a week or 2 weeks after she flashed the gun on me, Dave, they called at a stoplight. Passed out high on codeine and alcohol. She passed out at the light. So they took the gun, the car, they took everything from a God. That's karma, man. God make motherfuckers pay for what they do. So after this incident happened here, I found out about it. So I ain't got nothing to say to her, David. I'm not finna say nothing to her to edge her on or anything like that. I'll make her up more disappointed in herself. That's who she already is. So another week or so go by. Now I'm in my third going to my fourth month working. I say, okay, then this is not stopping. She started going to the owner, telling the owner that I was making like sexual suggestions and towards the staff there and females there. And the owner reviewed the camera, like, man, ain't been in this shop in over a month. This man ain't coming here. So they cleared all that up. So I left it alone. So I told her I'm resigning because I was going to work for Amazon, the DSP driver. You know? So the day I resigned, I quit. She come back there in the alley. Oh, you think you got away, nigga, blah, blah, blah. I know you know that nigga that did. I said, listen, sister, I'm going to tell you something. Yeah, I know who he is, but I don't know nothing about his case. I didn't meet him in his case. I met him in prison. We got a bond towards a brotherhood. It ain't about what he did to nobody. It's the loyalty he had towards me and I got towards him. So I don't have to express none of you, nobody else, or your daddy. And I think that's what triggered her. And she spit on me.
Damn.
She spit on me. And they found her knocked out. So they found her knocked out.
So with the spit bounced off you and went back to her and knocked her out.
You spit.
They hit boomerang.
It was a boomerang. Hit my forehead, hit her back in the forehead. Her knocked out because somebody's eggs wasn't frying. They looking for the head chef. She's in the alley, knocked out some damn work.
Damn.
They called the police and shit. Police wake up and she jump up. Oh, he just put his hands on a woman. Now, mind you, Dave, this girl been going by Troy for the last 3 years. See, I didn't know if it was a woman or not. I couldn't tell. Because I never met a woman. If that was a real woman, she was sagging. Her ass hanging out, sagging, baseball cap. So I didn't know if it was a woman or a transsexual. Because you got transgenders, LGBT people, man, that dress and look just exactly like females. You couldn't even tell the difference. So I didn't know what I was dealing with. And once they found her knocked out, and the little mustache got washed off by the rain, then I said, okay, then that probably was a woman. You see what I'm saying? But the thing...
Damn.
The face was in the rain. I guess when they turned her over, they saw the mustache that got off her ass shit. I was like, damn. So I'm in a police car.
They had the mustache and the beard that fell off.
So... So now I'm like, damn, I'm in trouble. So I'm like, damn.
Now the job is definitely a no-go because you can't go back now.
So they arrested me, Dave. Yeah, first was a like a fraction. The lowest charge you can get, like a fraction. You hear me?
Right.
Because, you know what I'm saying? And after that situation, I was actually fired. I wasn't fired because I resigned. But at the same time, they came back, we're going to fire you and keep her. So the second owner of the business came to talk to him, was like, listen, man, we didn't even know you had three conversations with the owners about this situation, and it was never addressed. So he was like, man, if I was you, I'd just go file a lawsuit for hostile environment. He said, you'll win it all day. So all the females out the home healthcare building that was next door to the restaurant came out, and they all surrounded the police and me. I'm telling the police, listen, man, this man working for 4 months, never said a word to nobody. So I don't do all that rapping. They come to work, go to work. I help them when I can, and I'm gone. They said, man, right. Man ain't never did nothing to nobody. This woman that threatened him since he been here, flashed guns on him and all this stuff. But the owner was like, female, you know what I'm talking about. She was like, well, I'm going to fire whoever threw the first blow. I said, so you think spitting on me wasn't no blow?
That's one of the lowest blows that you could do at a person. Spit on them.
Who does shit like that? What human does that? And she said, well, then I found out that you've been in prison. I said, man, you already knew I've been in prison. So now you figured as though that I lied to you on my wife. I said, nah, you did a podcast with David. You already knew I've been in prison. You know my whole history. So since when that became a fact?
Right.
I caught a case as a child, not as an adult. I don't have no case as an adult. But anyway, to go forth from that, then I started working for DSP. I'm just giving everybody a rundown of what I've been going through.
Just getting them up, back up to speed.
Yeah, and I started work for Amazon DSP. And I worked there for 2 or 3 weeks before they came in from California and shut the whole thing down in Chesterfield, Missouri, claiming that, you know, that the managers and all that was shiesty. I guess they were doing something real shiesty. And they gave me my paychecks for that. Yeah, they closed it down. They said they had to take over and renew the whole thing because management wasn't right. So they paid me. They put me on board and then they took me off and put me on off board and 3 weeks later. Man, so now
that's messed up.
Yeah, yeah. So now I'm back on the market for another job, which I think I got coming. But it's been a whole lot going on, man. The thing of it is, one thing I learned getting out of prison, a lot of people understand and believe that their family will be understanding that you out of prison, will try to give you a hand or try to
happy to help you get back on your feet.
But that wasn't the case with me. And I'm still trying to figure out why. I'm trying to figure out where all this misunderstanding and hatred and all this stuff come from. I ain't do nothing but come home. And the thing of it is,
have you gone back to review? How did you treat people coming up? And I'm just asking the question. Do you go back and think, well, maybe I mistreated someone or didn't do him or her right? I'm just trying to figure out where they come up with this unwillingness to help you out.
Well, it's the thing of it is, I don't recall I even addressed that issue with them. You know, I don't recall doing nothing to nobody. My thing is, when I left, like I said, I was 17. All my other cousins, even my little sister, she wasn't over like 11. My other cousin was 5, 6, 7 years old. So that wasn't a thing of that nature. I think it's more so society as a whole. The way they boyfriends, friends, the way society has changed over the years I've been gone. It seemed like more of the women's or more Jezebels now. They more aggressive than men are. It seemed like they done took over not only the role as household leadership as a woman, but they doing it as a male. They taking over a male role as well. You know what I'm saying? And you combine that into one woman, you ain't going to have nothing but an angry black lady, man, that actually feel as though brothers out here in society ain't strong enough and ain't good enough for a sister, man. And it's sad to say, man, I done went around, I done been out of town, I done been around other states, and it's all the same. Women's is head of household. They raising families alone. They got to stand up and fight for their kids growing up. So those type of mentality, once they take those characteristics within themselves, they, you know, it's no saying what they might do because they can be passive. They passive and aggressive, put it like that.
So give me a specific incident that you came across where you understood or was clear that nobody was willing to help you, but you don't have to give any names, but just describe the incident or the occurrence for the listeners.
I'm going to describe one incident. I'm going to try to put it as simple as I can. I finally, after coming out of prison 31 years, I've been out like 2 or 2.5 years. And I still really ain't, how can you put it, Dave, really ain't been around my immediate family to where I can create a bond with them. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because from the things I see from the outside, it'll force you to go the other way. Because, and I don't think it's a personality trait or nothing like this. In prison, I'm going to jump to this here, David, so the audience can understand what I'm saying. In prison, at a young age, you are forced to be loyal if you want to survive in prison. They strong on loyalty. You run with a group of people. You gonna say, I ran with the same group of people for 31 years. If I wasn't allowed to socialize outside a group to another person, I wasn't allowed. I didn't do it because loyalty is something that's key. It's something that's strong, and it keeps you alive, man. And I know, Dave, you might have heard 1,000 inmates being killed in prison and OD'd in prison because of they're unwilling to stay loyal and stay on one side of the ship. And so a lot of people had access to them. Even enemies. If you weren't loyal, and we know you weren't loyal, if an enemy pull up, well, we're going to take that. Go and get rid of him. Because he ain't no good to you. He ain't no good to me. So I live by that code. So I get out of here. I'm thinking everything is everything, man. But I see it's a lot of disturbing factors that's going on within these families, man, especially within mine. And the thing of it is, I can't really say where it come from or where it derived from, because when I went to prison, everybody was together as one. So
family was everything.
And with that belief alone, you grow up thinking that's going to be your life there. That's going to be something that's going to be with you, like a support system or something that's going to, when you're down, lift you up. Somebody mm-hmm. that's going to reach a hand out to you, give you a break. Or anything like that. Man, did none of that happen, man. And the thing of it is, I don't think nobody never gave me a chance to even, I never even got a chance, for real, to, how can I say it, to even meet. See, 3 decades is a long time to be gone, David.
It come is.
Back till family. I never had that opportunity to, I never been given the opportunity to bond. Now, it could have been my fault because of the way I see things and the way I perceive it. But the way I perceive things keep me alive, because it kept me alive in prison. So that don't mean I'm going to lose that factor when I'm out here. And so I never was given that break, not even a handout, not even a, man, let me tell you something, Dave. And I'll be honest with you, man, if I'd have known that this type of environment exists within family structure, Dave, man, I'd have got out and skipped town. Because it's sad, man. It's sad, Dave. It's sad because nobody had no morals and principles, man. Everybody quick to talk about, man, you know how many times, you know how many people that talked about me, man, don't even know me.
And you're talking family members, you're talking family just members, in yeah. general.
Family right. members, yeah. I'm talking about, I didn't, man, listen, back to my last relationship, right, which you're familiar with. Any woman that I've met outside of that that had any ties with my family, anything of that, they'll call, hey, man, I don't know what's going on with your family. They told me don't fuck with you, man. Yeah, they tell me to stay away from you, blah, blah. I said, why is this? They can't even tell you goddamn what I like to eat. So I don't even really know them. So these are the things that I've been going through on a daily basis. And that's why I haven't been really making no podcasts. We ain't been doing no podcast because I got to get my life straight. I got to get things out here in priority. I got to get them straight, man, before I can deliver a message of hope. When you ain't got no hope, you can't deliver no message of hope. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah, you gotta make sure that you have your things together, man. And that was one of the reasons why I haven't been trying to do no podcast, because the disappointment that I went through out here and the people that I deal with, I can't blame them for being who they are. I got to judge me for being who I am and make the best out of me.
Does that situation almost cause a depression-like situation?
I'm
sure it messes with your mentals.
Yeah, it does.
You're trying to adapt and readjust to society, but like you said, you can't get any help. And it's just every turn you make, it just seems like when you get going good, you get your footing, something always pops up.
It drags you right back down. Yeah, and that's true. Depression is real. And I think, I ain't going to lie to you, and I'm going to be straight up honest with you, I think the most I ever got depressed when I ended that relationship with my ex. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That was the most. But with my family and stuff like that, it really wasn't no depression. It wasn't surprising to me either. Right. But it was a hurt feeling. It don't give you the energy and the effort. Mm-hmm. It's like they suck the life out of you, man. Just by, you tell one lie, that's going to suck the life out of a person, man. Just by repeating it to that person. If I do one negative thing, it suck the life out of me. So I had to really go back, man, and sit down. And go back to the drawing board, man, from the first day when I got out of prison, where I went wrong. And I'm starting to see now where I went wrong at. But it wasn't the people that I was dealing with. It was me giving them access to me. That's why I went wrong. Just by giving a person access to you, man, can actually give them the misconception or wrong conception about you. I gave them access to me. But they never got a chance to learn me. They never got a chance to understand. They never got a chance to just to be in my presence or me being their presence to understand, to have that mental bond to where you can say, okay, then, this is the way this go. But nah, I wasn't rocking like that, man, because I feel as though if you ain't got loyalty, man, you ain't got nothing. I don't give a fuck about what nobody talk about, Dave. I don't care about what nobody talk about. If you ain't got loyalty, man, and you ain't got accountability, and loyalty is two things a person I look for in anybody.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have that, Dave, they're a piece of shit. in my eyes.
And I know, and not dwelling on the relationship part, but you were looking for that person to support you, and it seemed like that's what it was, but it really was to get what they could get out of the situation. It wasn't so much to help you out. It was to see what I can get out of it.
That's the situation.
That's how it ended up being.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's sad. And it's sad because you really didn't get nothing. Didn't really get shit. But what you did get was enough time to build your bank account. Right. Yeah, I paid all the rent. You got enough, but one thing about it, that shit will run out. But don't believe because you got it off on me that another next man going to let you do it, because it ain't going to happen. But at the same time, I'm glad I went through that, because it was a lesson learned. It was a lesson learned.
Put you back up on guard again in terms of keeping that wall up and, like you said, giving people access that didn't really deserve the access.
And you know what? That's one of the lessons that I learned. And that's and I think that was the more potent and the more strongest lesson in life, man, is access to a person. I think that was my biggest mistake doing that. And I learned a hell of a lesson from it, man. And you're right. I ain't gonna lie to you. I haven't dated nobody since then. It's almost been a year. You know why? Because I feel as though all of them like that.
Right.
You see,
everybody's up to the same old tricks. Yeah.
Same old tricks. And you only going to give me one time. You ain't going to give me no more. Yeah. So before I date one of them or whatnot, I go down there to that, what you call that, disability center down there, and I go get me a woman in a wheelchair with no legs, just rub them nerves on her ass. She trip, put her ass on the freezer. But I'm just saying, you ain't got no domestic violence or nothing. Just put on the freezer. I'd just rather have me a woman with no legs and roll them nerves, man. $3,000, $4,000 a month. You can win like that, Big Day. You can win like that.
Well, I never thought about it as access. You think about it in terms of a relationship, but hey, you're giving them access to you, your mind, your whatever, your bank account, whatever you may have. It could be spiritual, mental, physical. It could be all of that. That's pretty mind-blowing when you sit back and think about it. Because
it is.
Everything is about access. You have access to a job. You have access to money. Do you have access to this? And then in terms of a relationship, I gave them access to me. And I'm coming in as a real and true person. And if you don't come in with good intentions, that's not a good recipe.
No, it's not. And it took me to go through all these things to realize in prison, that was one of the first rules they teach you, man. You never give people access to. And it seemed like I forgot all those principles when I got released. And I had to actually take a fall. I took a big fall, Dave, to the point to where I said, okay, I got to recall these rules and live by these rules again, because it kept me afloat. And not only that, I end up behind that one situation, Dave, in that last relationship, I end up losing more than I gain from it, to be honest with you. Even though I was doing the rent and the people that I was dealing with on the house, they even got on me. I had to go back and clear my bank account out just to pay all of her back pay that she wasn't paying. You see what I'm saying?
Set me back.
The thing of it is, I think through the good grace of God, man, I was able to do this, do that, and keep myself afloat. But at the same time, I think I learned one, that's one lesson I learned in that relationship that'll never happen to me again. I swear to God, that'll never happen to me again. And I wouldn't even let it happen to my neighbor if I see it, because I'm going to warn him about it. That's how solid I am. I never let that shit happen again. And then this family thing, I had a little incident that transpired with some of my family. Went over, took Marche, to meet everybody. And
for those who don't know Marche, that's your granddaughter.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't even know who her mama is. You hear me? You know why they don't know who her mama is? Because I met her mom in the joint.
Damn.
Prison baby. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people don't really know who she is, and I never had to explain that to nobody. So I took over and meet my aunties and all them. They like, who was her? Who was her mama? I'm like, what the fuck is y'all asking all these questions for? That's my granddaughter's bottom line. That's it. I don't have to give you no information about how she came about or why she about or nothing like that. But she here. Well, I only remember this girl you had when you was young. You don't know. We buy pussy in prison. Don't think it was cash out. We had baby moms that was guards in prison. You see what I'm saying? But the thing of it is, it's another world. But these are the things I can't explain to them. On the simple fact of the matter is, they might got boyfriends or something in prison, try to get somebody jammed up or anything. So I can't explain these things to them because it's none of their fucking business. So a little argument led about that and things of this nature. For anybody that's listening, Marsha is my granddaughter. And the thing of it is that
a lot How did they treat her real quick?
Well, she was treated okay.
That's good.
I couldn't say nothing about it. But, you know, I think the whole scene was set up. Because I got an auntie, we call her, I ain't going to say her name, but we call her Judas. You know who Judas is, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Judas was in the Bible. He the one that turned Jesus up to the high priest. She Judas. We call her Judas. And Judas was a nasty, lame motherfucker. You see what I'm saying?
And stab you in the back.
Right. Stab. What they don't know is we know what happened. Judas got on the phone, called some people, my other cousin coming over there, start asking me questions. It was set up. I peeped it. Listen, she ain't got to explain none of y'all. She a type two. She a type one diabetic for one. Can't put that stress on her like that. She ain't got to explain none of y'all about shit. And I was letting them know this. My granddaughter, that's the bottom line. Well, you ain't blah. I say, man, let me tell you something. I don't argue. You know, I don't argue with nobody. And they were like, I said, yeah, because I don't have no problem killing nobody. That was my statement, Dave. I didn't threaten nobody. I'm just letting them know when you argue with me and you get with me, man, I get in a state of mind to where I look over all the love and everything else. So when I said that, particular family member put their hands in their purse, and I was like, listen, be honest with you. Pull anything out that motherfucker, man. Show me anything that got to do with a weapon or anything. Your mom gonna be mad at me. And I meant that because no matter if it's family, friends, or whatever, I can argue. David, I can argue. That's just like me and you get into an argument, David. And you a co-host and I'm a co-host. We get into an argument, but I go in my pockets. Man, what you talking about? Like I got a weapon, like I'm finna do you some harm like that. You gonna lose respect for me right then and there.
Or cause me to react. Yeah.
Or cause you to react. You gotta gun me down. You see what I'm saying? And the thing of it is, that's the point I was making. You by putting your hands in your purse. You know, if I was a nigga on the streets.
That's seen as a threat.
That's seen as a threat. That's a free murder. That's a free murder. And they consider that, according to the police and the law, that's a free murder.
Yeah.
Because don't nobody know what you're going to pull out that motherfucker.
Nobody knew your intentions. That's right.
Know your intentions. And wasn't nobody even talking to you for one. So the thing of it is that I know the law too. And after that, I just bagged all the way back, man. And just, man, listen. I don't know what happened. I don't know how we got to this point here. But at the same time, sometimes, man, you just got to take a hill. I just went on and took a loss. Like, man, fuck it. Just left. You got that off. But that don't mean you're going to get off on the next person.
And just to clarify, that was a female that did this.
It was a female, yeah.
That goes back to what you were talking about, how some of these females try to act like men and
till
you put them in their place, then they want to be a woman again.
Just like the one that spit.
And that's why I was bringing it back to that. Yeah.
Knocked her ass out. And
then all of a sudden she wanted to be a woman.
You know, all of a sudden you want to wake up, now you're a woman, but you just fell out with a mustache. So it's confusing. So I just, So your face hit that puddle of water and that mustache is gone. They hit you in that nose and woke you up. Oh, he had a woman. I'm like, God damn, man, that is a woman. You know what I'm saying? Right. I was shocked because the mustache, damn, what happened to the hair on your face? Saw all that little ink shit on the ground. I saw all this bitch drawing mustaches and shit on her goddamn face.
That's messed up.
So I went in front of the judge, right? I got another court date coming up on that shit, but I went in front of the judge. And, you know, I'm done the judge. Like, you know, hey, man, check this out. She said, well, you know, you got a lot of people in your court. I said, Dad, that's not even what I'm talking about. I said, let me ask you a question. She said, well, Mr. Seddonwell, I said, well, how do you fight motherfuckers like that? She told me, huh? I said, yeah. You don't know if they're a man or a woman. They walking around here with mustaches on, head turned to the back. They got titties and all this here. How do you fight people like that? How do you protect yourself from people like that? Y'all call them LGBT. Okay, then, if they LGBT, what banner are they under? I know LBG just lesbian, gay, bisexual. You know what I'm saying? Things of this nature, right? That's their banner.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got studs. Women that ain't considered under the LGBT. They consider these women's trying to be dudes. You see where I'm at? But both groups got titties. Both groups look just like females. Both groups and put her in their booty. You see what I'm saying? How can you dissect who you into it with? That's what I was trying to ask Judge. How do you do it?
What was the response?
How do I really fight a woman? How do I know that? How do I know I'm fighting a transgender? How do I know that? So what I got to do before we get into a fight, hey, man, pull your pants down, open your legs up. Let me see what you got down there before we fight.
After you spit on me, though, what was the response?
Oh, judge told me, man, get out of the courtroom. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to make a show. Trying to make a show. And I said, man, yeah, I said, man, you can go to hell, too. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to make a show. I'm not. I'm being realistic. I'm being realistic, Dave. If this woman dressed like a man, look like a man, but this one here is an LGBT, and it is a man with titties and all that, you see what I'm saying? Not getting to it with either one. How do I determine how hard I hit them?
Or should you hit them?
Right. Or should I? I'm saying if they come swinging on me, I'm going to knock their ass out. But I'm just saying.
No, I understand that part, but you might give it a little more leniency knowing it's a woman.
If it was a woman, okay, then I can just hold you off. You see what I'm saying?
That's my point, yeah.
I'm not going to full power no woman. I ain't going to never do that. I'll hold you off. But this one here looks just like a woman, but it's not. Throwing punches like Sugar Ray Leonard. You see what I'm saying?
So I had a mustache too, though, so it might not have been acting like a woman.
But some of the LGP don't be having mustaches. You see what I'm saying? Tell the judge, I don't know how to fight one of them. I don't know who I'm into it with. A woman or a trainee or LGP. I don't know. So I say, what I got to do? Ask them to drop their pants, determine their sex before I swing on them? It's too much.
Crazy.
We already can't protect ourselves just by being on parole.
And that's what I was going to ask you. How does this situation affect your parole, if at all?
Oh, no, it ain't going to affect none of that. I just got to take I done took five of them in the anger management class. And I might have to pay a fine for this one, though, because it's a I'm going to citation court. Have you ever heard that before? Ticket?
Not really. I know when you served a citation, like for a traffic ticket, something like that. But what's the definition or what is it about?
Mine's is for the incident. They said they sent me a letter last week and said I got to report to court at 7 o'clock at night for a citation ticket.
Oh, okay. So it is a ticket. I got
it's
you.
A ticket. Yeah, it's a ticket.
So it'd be a fine involved with it.
Yeah, it'd be a fine. Yeah.
I know one of the topics that we'll get into hopefully next week, and I know you wanted to bring a couple more folks on in terms of how the streets have changed. Since you all were on the streets, things are very different on how people come up and approach you and how you have to, again, be on guard. And to your point, you're on parole, so you have to operate a little bit differently than you know, normally would. So I think this would be a good place to stop. But this is definitely a topic we want to bring up and touch on in an upcoming episode.
Yes, sir.